So we are in Genesis 27. So we're going to open up in a word of prayer. Excuse me. Heavenly Father, we give you all honor and glory, Lord, and we just thank you for this time, Lord. Father, we pray you bless this time, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this journey that you have taken us on, Lord, the journey that we're on, Lord, as you're teaching us, Father God. You're unlocking the mysteries, Father God. You're showing us, you're revealing yourself to us, Lord. Father God, we just pray your word continue to speak to us, to teach us, to equip us, Lord. And we just thank you always, Lord, for this time of fellowship, Lord. And Lord, that we can grow in you, Lord. We just thank you. We honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Chapter 27. You guys all read it ahead of time? Don't answer. It's okay. He's here. He's listening. But one thing I do want to share that I kind of did in this chapter, and I kind of, not only because Pastor Al had asked me to share this with this chapter, but as I read it, I was kind of writing down my own questions too. So I just encourage you guys, or, you know, if it's something you already do, praise the Lord. If it's something you want to try, just as you're reading it, maybe there's some things that stand out, write it down. And we can share it together. I know there's a lot of things that, you know, someone sees and somebody else doesn't see, or they see it in a way, and I mean, it's just the way the Lord speaks to everybody. So, you know, he can reveal something to, excuse me, to you guys in a different way that he reveals to another person. So I encourage you guys, you know, write down a question, or if you learn something, and, you know, this is how we all grow together, you know, by just sharing. And you know, every time you start talking about the Word of God, and, you know, time flies, you get excited, you get fired up, because the Word says iron sharpens iron, you know. So as you share with one another what we're learning, and, you know, here's what I learned, and, you know, it could encourage the person you're speaking to, but not only that, you know, you can encourage yourself as well, you know, and it helps out a lot. It helps your walk in the Lord. Amen. So Genesis 27, we're going to see a family. If you haven't read it, if you read it, you already know about this family we're going to meet. And it's a dysfunctional family. It's a family with issues. It's a family with problems. And I know that's not us, because we all have perfect households, right? We all have perfect homes. I'm kidding. But we see this, and we see what this family goes through. And it's the family of Isaac, Rebecca, Esau, and Jacob, right? Mm-hmm. And we see, and we've known, we've gone through the lineage, you know, from Abraham, and we see now the son is born, Isaac, and we see he grows, and he has his family now. And we've read about Esau and you know, selling his birthright, and all the issues they're going through. But there's three things that I'd like to share. And just in Genesis 25, and we don't have to go there, but in Genesis 25:21, it shows a passage that says that Isaac prayed for Rebekah, right? Because she was barren. Excuse me. Still the effects of the conversation with Lily. But Lord, use her mightily. But we see that it shows a passage, it's showing the lineage, but it comes across this point where it says that she was barren, and Isaac prayed for her, right? And then it shows that she had issues, and then Rebecca says that sought to the Lord about her issue, and then we see that God gives her the promise, right? That the younger, right? That you got two nations, and the younger, right, is going to rule over the older, right? The older is going to serve the younger. So we see this in the family, and we see what had happened, right? She was barren. She has the twins, right? And we know what happens, grabbing the heel. And we know what Jacob stands for, right? What does it stand for? Deceiver, right? Esau, we know, was red and hairy, right? And Jacob, deceiver, right? Came out. And so anyways, in last week's study, at the end of the chapter, and I kind of, as I was reading it last week, I know it was brought up that at the end of the chapter, it just talks about Esau. And I'll read it real quick. The end of chapter 26 says, when Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they were a grief of mind to Isaac. and Rebecca. Okay? So it kind of felt like it just threw it in at the end. But there is, as we know in the Word of God, whether we realize it or not, or sometimes after, or sometimes somebody points it out to us, we realize that there's a reason that it's there and that it's at that spot. Excuse me. So Genesis 21, verse 1, reads like this. 27, sorry. It says, "Now it came to pass, when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, 'My son.' And he answered him, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Behold, now I am old and do not know the days of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me a savory food such as I love, and to bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die.'" Amen? So we know that the parents had favorites, right? As we've learned in the previous chapters, that they had favorites. Isaac preferred who? Esau, right? He was a hunter, right? A manly man, and he went out there and caught his own food, right? And we know that Rebecca preferred Jacob, right? He stayed there and he was knitting the donkey, he stayed. So they had favorites. And we know, as we talked about and as we're going to see, that that's a big issue, right? Us with children, I know we don't have favorites. We don't play favorites. We've made mistakes. We've done stuff in the past. But we're going to see here that because of this, Isaac does something. See, I wanted to bring up what happened in chapter 25 about the blessing, right? That he prayed for her. He prayed for Rebecca. Rebecca sought the Lord, and he said, "No, this is the plan of God," right? He says, "There's two nations, right? And the older is going to serve the younger." So God had spoken already what the plan was, right? You're going to have twins. There's two of them. And all of a sudden, we see here Isaac, as it says in verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see." Right? So all of a sudden we see and we know that Esau was his favorite, is his favorite, right? And we see that he wants to bless Esau, right? He's preparing. He even says, "Go and do this, go catch the food, prepare this for me." And he tells him in verse 4, it says, "So that I may bless you." So he tells him, "Here's the plan. I'm going to bless you," right? He says, "Here, go, do this," right? "And I'm going to bless you." So, of course, to Esau, this is awesome, right? He's about to receive the blessing, right? Now, it says that he's about 137 years old when this is happening, okay? Right? 40 years old when he got married, 60, right? When he had the children 20 years later. So, this is already 130 years, okay? 70 years later. 70 years of life had passed, okay? 70 years of who knows what happened, right? But 70 years of life had passed, right? He had married these other women. And so they're living, right? And all of a sudden he gets to a point where he realizes, "Hey, I'm going to die," right? He says, "I'm going to die." He gets to the point. He says, "I am old. Go and do this so that I can bless you," right? "I am old and I do not know the day of my death." So we see Isaac, that he plans to bless Esau, but what he's really doing is disobeying God's plan, right? We know, he knows, right? Now it is assumed that he knows, because of all this time has passed, that husband and wife would have talked about this, right? Now the promise was spoken to Rebecca, right? So, I mean, you could say, well, maybe they never talked about it, right? But it's assumed that he knew about this plan. Okay, after all this time, right? So he's disobeying God's plan, right? He wants to bless Esau, and the plan of God is to bless who? Jacob, right? It says, we know that Esau had sold his birthright, okay? And we also know that Esau had married heathen women, okay? And that's why it was put at the end of this chapter, so that we understand what's happening here, right? And we're going to see something later. I'm trying not to jump ahead, right? But we're going to see something, that what Esau's doing, right? We know what he did already. And yet Isaac still wants to bless Esau, right? Isaac still wants to go through with this plan. Why? Because
Esau is his favorite, right? Esau, right? It feels good. I want this guy, you know, whatever it is, but he wants to bless him. He wants to give the blessing to Esau, right? And Esau had already disqualified. So he got to a point where he's kind of overlooking all these things, right? Isaac is not overlooking this, whether he's old of age or whatever it is. But we see here that he's thinking, the thought in his mind is that what? He's going to die, right? He says, I'm old, right? I'm going to die, right? So he's acting out of this feeling, right? We're going to see as we read more through this chapter that Isaac acts a lot on his feelings, right? And we're going to see later on, if you guys are ready, you guys know the story. But I don't want to ruin it for those that don't. But it says here in verse 4 that he sent them out. It says, go that I may eat, and my soul may bless you before I die. See, he thought he was going to die. He was around 137 years old. He lived to be 180. Excuse me. So he still, after that, he lived another 40 years. Okay? So he thought, right? His feeling was, this is it right here. It's over for me. He lived another 40-something years. Okay? He lived longer, right? A lot of times we may have felt, this is the end of something. Maybe not necessarily our life, but this is the end of something. Right? This is this, whatever. We start to lose hope. See, he could have been in a situation where he started to lose hope, right? Or he started to say, man, I need to act here. I need to, right? And he started to act without really considering God, right? He started acting on his own strength, okay? And his first mistake was, right? Well, we know of many, but he had his favorite. But his first mistake was to disobey God in God's plan, right? He knew the plan, right? He knew that the younger was going to rule over the older. He knew that Jacob was to get blessed, but he wanted to bless Esau. He was in disobedience to the word, right? We can't go by feelings. We know Proverbs 3, right? 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Lean not on what? Your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, right? We trust in the Lord. It's a verse, I know it's quoted a lot, and it's been taught to our children, and when you were children, and it's been taught and taught. And it sounds easy to do. I know that, right? Maybe it's a little harder to do, to live, right? But that verse right there, trust in the Lord, all your heart and everything. Put God first, right? He got to the point that he allowed death and fear, and he thought, this is it, right? To overcome him. And I know a lot of times we've allowed our feelings, the way, right, wherever our life is, our circumstances, our whatever may happen, to dictate what we do, right? We need to seek the Lord. We need to seek the Lord in everything we do. Amen? Or remember what the Lord has told us, right? See, for Isaac, he got to a point where feeding himself, feeding his belly became more important, right, than obeying the Lord. He told him, go and prepare this food that I may eat, that I may be satisfied, and then I will bless you. Right? Verse 5 says, now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory fruit from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feed me, will fill me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. But his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food, such as the father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids and the goats on the hands and the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So, in the first little part, we met Isaac, right? And we see what he did. And now we have the mother, right? And we see a mother that heard that Esau is about to get blessed. Now, that's not her favorite son, we know that. Jacob is her favorite. So she is going to act to put a stop to that, right? She is going to act to put a stop to that because she wants her favorite to be blessed. Not only that, you can say, well, she heard the promise. So she's trying to what? Help God. Can you guys remember anybody in Genesis that tried to help God? Right? Abraham. Right? They tried to help God. And Ishmael came out. Right? So she tried to help God again. How many times have we tried to help God? I know many times. Many times, right? Pastor Al, what he said on Sunday, right? We're the liability. Right? We're the liability. Right? But thank God that even through our folly, right? God's grace. God's grace. Amen? God's grace still exists. And God's grace still helps us. Right? And God's plan still goes forth. Amen? We're going to see that through this folly of this family, through the mistakes, through the issues that they had, that God's plan still will go forth. Right? We see time and time again in the Bible, right? The book of Esther, right? Let's wipe out the Jews. Let's wipe out the plan of God. What is the plan of God? Redemption, right? Salvation, Jesus Christ being born. Amen? Genesis 3, right? Came that promise, right? And so that plan's going forth. That plan's going forth, continue to go forth. It tried to be stopped, right? Balaam tried to pay him to speak, right? And tried to speak against him. He says, I can't. This is a blessed nation, blessed of the Lord. Right, and we're going to see a promise to Jacob. I'm jumping a little ahead, but right, but we see that God's plan will continue to go forth. Amen? But we see here Rebecca, that she plans for Jacob to be blessed. But it's not according to God's plan. Right? It's according to her plan. And we read it, right? Go do this, we're going to do it. I mean, it's a complicated plan. Right, go kill this, and we're going to take the skin, and I'm going to make the food, and he's expecting this kind of food, and we're going to prepare. So there's a lot of scheming and deceiving. What does Jacob mean?
Deceiver.
Deceiver, right? I wonder who's training him. Right? I wonder who's training him. A lot of times we train our kids without even knowing sometimes. Right? We train our kids without even knowing. Just by our actions, they're seeing us. Right? We pray that it's not all negative, but a lot of times we, right, and the next you know, we see the kids doing something, and you're like, where'd they get that from? Right? We don't know where they got it from, right? So a lot of times, right, our children are watching, or just by our actions, right? So he's learning to deceive, right? He's being trained by somebody how to deceive. If you see that she was nearby listening to this, and we can see later on that she was nearby listening to something else also. Right? She wants to know, right? Not because she wants to hear the heartbeat of God. She wants to know what's going on, right? She's being a busybody, right? She wants to know. And so as soon as she hears, I'm going to go bless Esau, she goes forth into action, her plan, right? I'm going to help God here because God, right? This is against your plan, right? It could sound great. It could sound, God, this is against your plan, and we're going to stop this. And we're going to stop this. You know, last week we talked about digging the wells, and I know with me, I was thinking, wow, that's the well that the Lord gave him, right? Contend for it. And Isaac sought peace, right? And he says, you know what? Keep that well, go dig another one. And he dug a well, and then he went to another one, right? And he sought peace. And she said, no, we're going to contend for this blessing, and I'm going to help you out, God. I got a great plan. And he tells Jacob this plan. She tells Jacob this plan, right? One of the commentaries says, faith is living without scheming, right? Faith is living without scheming, trusting God, right? When we plan something on our own abilities, on our own, right, to gain over somebody that's scheming, right? To get an upper, right, to try to get past the person, maybe even hurt that person, right? We plan it out. not seeking the Lord. Those are all forms of scheming, right? Instead of just trusting in the Lord, right? She could have been at peace and said, you know what, Lord? I know this is happening, but Lord, I know your promise, right? This is the promise you gave me way back when. You told me about the two nations and you told me about this. So Lord, I'm going to trust in you. It doesn't look very nice. It doesn't look like it's about to happen. It looks like somebody else is about to get blessed, right? And I know that may be difficult, right? I mean, try to put yourselves in that situation, right? You heard the promise and, man, somebody's about to get blessed. And that's not what God told me, right? And you see that and you're like, wow, God, right? Try to have peace in the situation. And especially that's your child, your favorite one, right? It's got to be tough. Right, but she plans this, but they do it through scheming. She tried to help God. And we see in Jacob, as we go through this, that Jacob didn't ask, is this right? Is this just? Right? Is this fair? Right? He said, I'm going to get caught. He was worried about, am I going to get caught? Right? He says, and he's worried about his dad finding out. He's like, he might think I'm a deceiver. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to get exposed for who I am, right? He says, man, I don't want to get caught, right? One commentary said, I think it was Warren Wiersbe, he said, he was worried about the 11th commandment, thou shalt not get caught, right? And that's what he said, he just didn't want, he says, I like this plan, it sounds real good, and I like the plan you're laying out for me, right? That's right up my alley, right? Deceiver, talking to the deceiver, that's right up my alley. Right? And he said, he's not concerned. Is this fair? Is this right for my brother? Should we be deceiving dad? He's not concerned about none of that. He's saying, I'm going to get caught. I might get caught. But they put this plan into action. My skin is smooth. They put the hair on the skin. Right? And he sees that. Right? And we see as he goes in later on, he's going to speak to his dad. And the voice doesn't sound right, but the touch is right. Right? And it's representative of somebody that speaks, right, outwardly, right, appears holy, but the actions of the hands, right, are not of the world. They're of the world, right? So let's put this over our hands and our actions, right? But I'm going to try to speak as if I'm the one that deserves this blessing, right? And you try to sound right, and you try to sound good and eloquent or whatever you try to sound like, but your actions are not right with the Lord, right? Excuse me. One thing we see out of Rebecca, as she says this, she says something that she goes, let the curse be upon me. Right? Now, who took the curse upon himself for us?
Jesus.
Amen? So it's very dangerous for somebody to say that. She said these words. You just remember somebody else or a group of people saying that? Let the curse be on us and on our children. Right? When Jesus was crucified. Right? And she says this. You guys know that Rebecca, and we're going to get to the end, and we'll get to the end, and we're going to see what she plans after. Rebecca, after this chapter, if you will, never sees her son again. Never sees Jacob again. He ends up leaving somewhere. I don't want to ruin it. But he ends up leaving, and she never sees him again. Right? Her favorite son. So she plotted, she schemed, she's trying to help God. But yet, because of all this, she never sees her son again, right? Heavy price to pay for her, for what her desire was. Amen? Verse 18. So she handed the food to Jacob. Verse 18, so he went to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Now, right there, we see right in the beginning, he calls my father, and right away he says, who are you, my son? Right? So, right away, the voice, something's different. Right? Now, we know in the beginning it says his eyes are failing, right? He's going blind, he's old, right? So, they're trying to deceive him. So, this is where we see that Isaac is going to start going by his feelings, touch, taste, right? Hearing, everything. And so we see, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. He said, bring it near to me and I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him and he ate and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, and I'll stop right now. So we see here, and we see how many times that Jacob lied to his father right there. Multiple times he lies to his father right there. Are you my son? Yes, I am. I did what you told me to do. He did not do anything, right? His mother prepared the meal, right? And he says, how did you do this so quickly? He's like, well, the Lord. Now he's putting the Lord into this, right? The Lord, you know, found favor of the Lord, and it was so quick. I stepped outside, and it was right there. Roadkill, right? But he says, this was quick. He's trying to lie, but you see how the lie just grows and grows and grows and grows, right? And we know we've all probably been there, right? Grows and grows. Cover a lie. You lie, you want to cover it, so you have to lie to cover the lie and cover the lie. And it's the old snowball effect, right? King David, right, slept with Bathsheba, ended up having to kill somebody, right? And it just grows and grows and grows and grows, right? One lie, it just grows. It continues to go, and we can't stop it sometimes. Why? Because we're not focusing on the Lord. We're focusing on, I don't want to get caught. Right? We're focusing on, I want my will to be done. I don't want the Lord's will to be done. I want my will to be done. So we continue to cover it up, cover it up, cover it up. Right? And we see as they're going through this, and probably won't go through everything here, but he tells them, and we see the hands, and he says, come up here. But every time he speaks to him, he knows, Isaac knows, there's something not right here. Right? There's just something not right. He says, are you sure? Is that you? Let me touch you. Are you sure? Come here, let me smell you. Right? And he says, surely this is him. This is the voice, is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Right? And that's what I shared a little bit ago, that represents somebody who outwardly wants to show and pretend there's a life serving the Lord, but your actions are not matching what you're saying, right? You can say it, you can sing it, you can whatever, right? But your actions are not matching that, right? And that's what's happening here. It says the voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like this, like his brother Esau's hands. Excuse me. So he blessed him. Verse 24. Then he said, are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. He said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing, and blessed him, and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. All right? So he receives the blessing. He does not deserve it. All right, can you guys agree with me?
Yeah.
He does not deserve this blessing. Right? He schemed. Right? They cheated him. Right? They cheated the dad. They cheated the son. The son, Esau, I mean, you can see this picture, and you're like, wow, he's just obeying his dad. Right? He went and he said, go and capture food for me and cook it and I'll eat it and then I'm going to bless you. And the son's like, all right, I'm following orders, right? And we're going to see that he comes back and he prepares it as he was told. I'm following, I'm going to receive my blessing, right? I'm following the plans, right? But as we said, this wasn't God's plan. God's plan was to bless Jacob, right? And as much as we may say, he does not deserve this blessing, we're going to see in chapters that there's consequences to all this, right? And what he has to go through because of this scheming and because of his actions. He meets his match later on. But he goes through stuff because of this. But yet God's plan does not change. God's plan is still God's plan, right? Right, his callings without repentance, right? God's plan. His plan is still for redemption of the world, of mankind, right? And that's the plan for Jesus, right? For the lineage to continue on. And if we go through all the lineage, you know, we're going to see a lot of folly, a lot of mistakes, a lot of issues. There's consequences for, you know, what happens in their lives. But God's plan is still far greater than that. Right? And it's awesome that in spite of my mistakes, of your mistakes, of mistakes we have done, right, that God's plan will still continue to go forth. Amen? It's awesome. It's his will, right? That none shall perish, but all come to salvation. Right? That's the will of God. Right? That none shall perish. All come to the Lord. All call on the name of Jesus. Amen? That they all repent of their sins. So we may think, well, he does not deserve this. He does not. This guy just, you know, cancel it, God, cancel your plan. Let's switch it up. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to a new plan. But he blesses them. And we'll talk about this blessing in a little bit. But Esau in verse 30. Now we get to meet Esau. So we had Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, and now Esau. And in verse 30 it says, now it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your son may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? So he said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him. And indeed he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times and took away my birthright. And now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants with grain and wine. I have sustained him. What shall I do for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. It shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. So, here's Esau now. He prepared it just like he was told. He comes in and he realizes that he's been deceived, right? And he says, this is the second time this guy gets me, right? First the birthright, and now he has stolen what? The blessing, right? This should be mine. This guy came in and he took it, right? He came and he took it. And it says that as soon as Isaac realized what had happened, it says that he trembled, right? It says he trembled, and it says that Esau cried, right? I'm trying to go back to where it says. It says he trembled exceedingly, And he said, who is this? I just thought it. So he trembled. It was symbolic for a trembling of almost like I just blew it big time, right? I just blew it big time. I made probably the biggest mistake ever. I don't know if anybody has ever felt being in that situation. But it was a trembling that he just realized. I don't know if at this moment he came to his senses. Could have come to his senses. He could have realized what just happened. Maybe he could have realized, wow, I almost blessed Esau, right? It could have gone to this point, and then it says that Esau cried, right? And he heard the words. He cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father, right? And we see that he cried, and we think, man, this guy, poor guy, poor Esau, right? He says, man, this guy's crying. He just got cheated. He's the victim in this story, right? But see, God knows the intention of, right? The Bible says that God knows the intentions of your heart, right? A lot of times people say, God knows my heart. He says he knows the intentions of your heart, right? He knows who Esau is. When he blesses them, I don't know if you guys, when we read the blessings, when he blessed Jacob, he starts off with the dew of heaven and then the fat of the land. When he blesses Esau, he starts off with the fat of the land and then the dew of heaven, right? The dew of heaven represents from the hand of the Lord, right? So Jacob is getting blessed from the hand of the Lord, the promise, right? Esau is getting blessed with what his desire is, the fat of the land. See, he didn't care about his birthright. You guys got to remember, he didn't care. He looks like the victim here, right? But he didn't care about his birthright. Right? He rejected the Lord. That's symbolic for somebody that just rejects the Lord, right? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, right? It talks about the sin without repentance. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit means rejecting Jesus, right? I just don't want it. There's a lot of people out there that are living right now rejecting Jesus. And praise God that there's still time. They can still repent, right? But there's a lot of people that lived their life rejecting them and died rejecting Jesus, right? So this is an example of that, where he just rejected anything, right? I know with me, before I got saved, if anybody talked to me about Jesus, I would get so mad. I would get furious, right? And I would say, I already know who Jesus is. Don't talk to me about him, right? I know, and I would get mad, right? I remember telling her, if we ever go visit your parents and your mom starts talking to me about Jesus, I'm out of here. I would say stuff like that. I did not want to hear about it, right? And even though being raised, knowing about Jesus, but if anybody said Jesus, you better not. You better stop it there, right? Rejecting Jesus, right? And this was an example. So he wanted the fat of the land. That was his desire, right? I want to eat, right? When he sold his birthright, it was why? He was hungry. He wants to eat, right? When he did this, he just wants the blessing. See, he wanted to be a man that got blessed. But he didn't want to be a man, or he didn't want to live as a man that God could bless, right? He wanted to live this life. He just wanted the blessing. Just bless me, bless me, bless me. But I don't want to live according to your blessings. Does that make sense, right? I heard somebody say one time that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, right? And a lot of people say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. But they want Jesus the Savior. Help me in this. Rescue me in this, bless me in this, but I don't like the Lord part, right? I don't want him to be my Lord, right? If Jesus is going to be your Lord and Savior, he has to be both, right? In other words, we're under submission to our Lord as well, right? We're under submission and reverence and in constant contact with the Lord, amen? Not just Jesus, my Savior, but my Lord and Savior, amen? He's everything, right? Praise God that he saves you, but he's also our Lord. Amen? So it says here, I almost went like this to the paper. So it says here that his tears, as Esau cried, it says that his tears were not tears of repentance, right? But his tears were more tears of regret. Regret that I blew it. This could have been my blessing, and I blew it. See, he didn't care about the blessing from God's hand. He just wanted to be blessed. And he wanted what came with the blessing. Power, dominion, right, to rule over people, right? He didn't want what the Lord had for him. Right? So it was more of just regrets, not really repentance. Excuse me. And then we see, as the blessing says about what his people are going to be, from Esau came the Edomites, right? The Edomites, and they were never, as you learn about them, they were never over Israel or the Jews. They were a nation that was always subject to Israel, right? And it says where it says, from there you shall break, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. Eventually, in 2 Kings chapter 8, right, they get their freedom, right? They rebel and they get their freedom. So this is the blessing that he got. But it was always to live off the land, what the land had for him. And then finally we see in verse 41, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the day of mourning for my father are at hand, then I will kill my brother Jacob. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? So we see here that because of this, because he loses his blessing, and we learn that those tears that he cried were not tears of repentance, because immediately what does he want to do? He wants to kill his brother, right? Jealousy, anger. Does it sound familiar with two other brothers, right? Way back, Cain and Abel, right? There was jealousy, and jealousy led to what? Murder, right? And here we see Esau. He thinks, I got cheated, I got deceived, I'm angry, I'm jealous now, that's my blessing, right? And he says, I'm going to kill him, right? Rebekah once again plots, right, to rescue her son. And says, you need to leave, go to my brother's house, get out of here, plus I don't want you marrying any of these women, right? So you need to leave the land. And as I said, she never sees her son again, right, because of this. She never sees him. Excuse me. He wants to kill, Esau wants to kill. And we see here that a family is torn apart, right? We see here that a family is split apart. And why? Because it started off with those favorites, right? They had their favorites. And what happened here in this, right? He went to 137 years old and he wanted to bless the older son. And we see here of this family that, you know, we said in the beginning, it's a dysfunctional family. They have issues, right? But we see a family that made these mistakes. They played favorites. He wanted to bless the wrong son. He thought he was going to die, so he acted. He still lived another 40 years. The mom schemed. The son went along with it, right? And we see all these things, but we see that God's plan still goes through. Amen? God's plan still goes forth. God is faithful. Amen? And that's a great thing in our lives. That's a great thing for us, to know that God is faithful in spite of what we do, what we have done, right? And we learn, right? These stories are in the Bible to teach us, to help us. Right, and we have been learning of these mistakes. But we see here, and it leads me to think of this couple, Rebekah and Isaac. I mean, you think right from Abraham, he was there when he was going to be sacrificed. He was there and God provided, made a way. And he was there. And yet we see what happens, right? But we think, was there communication in that home, right? When Rebekah acted, did she say, she could have just gone in maybe and said, hey, can we talk? Do you not remember the promise of the Lord, right? So there was this communication that was not present in this family, right? Which I feel was one of the things that tore this family apart, Because if these children would have been raised, now I'm not sure how to do it, right? Pray the Lord for wisdom. But how do you raise your children telling your older one, hey, you're not getting blessed. You're not going to get the blessing, the younger one. But if you could have done it, right, coming up, the communication would have been there. It would have been different, maybe. But one last thing I want to share with this is that we see here a tale, an example of two fathers here, Abraham and Isaac, right? And as we read these stories, as we go through all this, we see two fathers, two families that went through just about the same thing, same situations. They both went and they lied about their wife. They both went, as we've been learning, right? They both go through a lot of these situations. Go here, right? They lie. This happens, right? The blessing, Esau living with the wives is an example of Ishmael living with them, right? Grew, as we learn about Ishmael, that grew for years living there, and he didn't know it was an issue because that's my son, right? So they learned to live with Esau and these wives that he took. So they kind of figured that's normal, right? The difference we see with Abraham and Isaac is that when Abraham was told, give this up, he did, right? We see the faith, the difference of faith, right? One trusted in the Lord. I know he made mistakes, but one ultimately trusted in the Lord, and the other one, right, trusted in his senses and in his feelings, right? We can't let our feelings, right, because our feelings are going to do this. Right? And if we're depending on our feelings with our walk with the Lord, then we're going to do this. Right? We need to trust in the Lord. Right? I know easier said than done, maybe. Right? But we need to trust in the Lord than in our senses. Amen?
Amen.
Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you honor and glory. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise. We thank you for your blessings, Lord. And we pray, Lord, just continue to give us your wisdom, Lord. Give us, Father God, the ability, Lord, to just trust in you, Father God, Lord. The measure of faith, Lord, that you have given us, Lord. We pray for an increase, Lord. Father God, help us, Lord, to trust in you, not to trust in feelings, senses, Lord, and even our abilities, Lord. But just have confidence in you always, Lord. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. I just ask for your blessings over everyone here, every family represented, Lord. We just thank you once again, Lord. We love you, give you honor and glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Is there any?